Today, on an ever more crowded branch. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Those who've been following me over the past few years will know I have become more and more concerned about the risks building in the property sector. I talked about the problem of interest-only loans, poor underwriting standards, and high debt to income in a flat wage growth environment. I was pretty much a lone voice at a time when the regulators said lending standards were fine and households could manage bigger debts. I was, so to speak, sitting alone on my rather gloomy branch. But now that branch is getting very crowded as more and more are coming to the same view. The latest is Bloomberg, who published a piece late last week. They started by saying that Australia is riding out a huge gamble on property. The bet is 27 years of recession-free economic growth, during which Sydney home prices surged fivefold, would continue unabated and allow borrowers to keep servicing their debt. The gamble has turned dicey, they said. Tighter lending rules are deterring investors and lofty prices are starting to deflate. A banking probe is exposing dodgy practices, and a mountain of risky loans that helped fuel the bubble needs refinancing just as global borrowing costs rise. Now Australians are stuck with the highest household debt levels among the G20 nations. Historically, we've seen that after economies have run up leverage, they face a hangover, said Daniel Blake, an economist at Morgan Stanley. Bank for International Settlements research shows that household debt starts dragging on future economic growth once it's equivalent to 80% of gross domestic product. Australia is sitting well on the extremes of that range at above 120%. While Australia's banks remain well capitalised and are still churning out massive profits, the millions of customers backing their biggest assets aren't. Wage growth is elusive as indebted workers struggle to cling to their jobs. And consumption, which makes up more than half of the economy, is pressurised as households scrimp to meet mortgage repayments. Australian banks' mortgages are equivalent to 80% of the economy. Since the turn of the century, politicians down under have sold the Australian dream by encouraging locals to take out mortgages and secure stakes in the property market, traditionally seen as an easy path to wealth. When growth stumbled during the global financial crisis, the government started handing out checks to help buyers scrounge up deposits, bolstering the economy in the process. As the mining investment bonanza to feed China's demand for a commodity started to splutter from 2012, the central bank rode to the rescue, cutting interest rates to record lows. The exuberance got out of hand. Investors gorged on interest-only loans that required them to repay not even 1 cent of principal for up to 5 years. The frenzy of such loans peaked in June 2015 when they accounted for 46% of all mortgages. Now it's time for those borrowers to start paying up. About $360 billion of these loans revert to interest and principal payments over the next 3 years, just as global borrowing costs are set to increase. The Reserve Bank of Australia isn't yet pressing the panic button, saying its research suggests that damage from loan rollovers should be minimal. Still, the household debt pile, currently at 189% of disposable income, has required it to tread warily. The RBA has kept interest rates unchanged since August 2016. That's the longest stretch in its modern history. Many Aussie borrowers have bought into the housing market bubble and got up to their eyeballs in debt, said Andrew Charlton, director of consultancy Alpha Beta in Sydney and a one-time economic advisor to former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. They'll stay afloat so long as interest rates stay low and the economy keeps its momentum. Interest-only loan repayments could nearly double. And neither scenario is guaranteed. While the economy is forecast to grow at an above-average pace through to 2020, the central bank has repeatedly warned that its biggest threats are external and real, and mainly from its biggest trading partner. Australia is the developed world's most China-dependent economy, and the RBA regularly cites China's mountain of corporate debt as a major worry. Furthermore, as the US ramps up trade wars with the number two economy, a significant hit to Chinese exports would see Australia caught in the crossfire. A shock erupting from either risk would see Australians start to lose their jobs and unable to meet mortgage repayments. And then there's interest rates. RBA Governor Philip Lowe has stressed they'll eventually rise, but only once the sticky jobless level, currently at 5.4%, nears the central bank's full employment estimate of 5%, and inflation climbs closer to target. While markets and most economists don't expect a hike for at least a year, US tightening will inevitably lift costs for Australian banks, which tap foreign funding to finance their lending. The worst case is where interest rates rise very, very rapidly overseas, and not just the central bank rates or overnight rates, but bond rates, said Roger Montgomery, founder and chief investment officer of Montgomery Investment Management. That could be a problem because we know that even prime borrowers, if they have negative equity, significantly increases the propensity to default. Australian banks are on notice. Alarmed by the free-for-all in risky loans and the deterioration in standards that accompanied lenders fighting for market share, regulators slapped them with curbs that included restrictions on interest-only lending. The value of new interest-only lending, which is the preferred option for investors, is down 57% on a year ago. Builders are delaying residential projects because prices have soared out of many Australian buyers' reach, while some Chinese investors have left the market altogether. Some developers are putting jobs on hold, either because developers can't get pre-sales to make a project work, or they can't get funding. The adequacy of lending standards has also been a focus of an independent inquiry into financial misconduct. The Royal Commission has heard of banks failing to verify borrowers' finances and staff falsifying loan documents to collect bonuses. Analysts are betting that revelations will lead to greater regulation of the mortgage market and force banks to tighten lending standards further. How resilient will Australian households be in the event of an economic downturn? The RBA last year estimated the average borrower has a buffer equivalent to 2.5 years of repayments, but drilling down, the picture is somewhat darker. One third of borrowers have enough funds to cover just 1 month's mortgage payment, if that. Mortgage brokers have seen a material clampdown since the start of the Royal Commission banking inquiry, with lenders ramping up verification of borrowers' income and living expenses. They're also seeing a number of surprised interest-only clients who were unaware that their repayments are set to increase and are now scrambling for options. For every $1 million of mortgage debt, a borrower now needs roughly $40,000 more in household income than 3 years ago. For those on the wrong side of the new restrictions, options are limited. Find the money for higher payments, move to another interest-only loan at a non-bank lender, or sell the property. Many Australians are sailing close to the wind and will be in trouble if a storm comes, says Alpha Beta's Charlton. If interest rates rose materially, it would push many Australian households into severe mortgage stress. So I think it's time for me to find a fresh branch. This one is getting just way too crowded. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.